Thank you, Yuri. It's a hard act to follow. But I do appreciate, on behalf of everyone, you opening up your home. And I want to thank, at the outset, Nachum Katz for extending the invitation. And especially on behalf of all of us, Ralph Flintenstein, Chodesh Rebbetzin as well, we wish them a mazel tov on the recent simcha. And really, Rabbi Flintenstein is the initiator and the visionary behind not only the shul, but obviously the whole existence of the kollel. And it's I don't usually like to speak, you know, these types of things, not my type of thing, but the truth is that I feel such a hakar satov to the shul and to Rabbi Flintenstein for creating what I really believe is one of the treasures of our community. We ended up in Ramat Shiloh kind of by accident. Some of you who I'm close with know our story, but we weren't planning on making Aliyah, and we'd never heard of Ramat Shiloh. But I had a brother-in-law who was living here, and we were coming just for a year. And the truth is now, 5 years later, if I had to do it over again, this is exactly where I'd want to be. There's nowhere else I'd prefer to be. And one of the main reasons is because we have a place like Ohev Yisrael, Kishmo Kein Hu. And the Rav, who comes from a tradition on his side and on his wife's side, of Avas Yisrael and Achdus, have really created a place which I think, again, without any disrespect to any of the other institutions in Ramat Shiloh, but I don't know if there's any other place which more people in the neighborhood are connected to, for a Seder, for a Shir, for a Minyan, than Ohev Yisrael. I mean it very genuinely. And I personally have a tremendous Hakar Satov, and I can't say no to Rabbi Flintenstein unless I can, and I can't usually. So I was happy to take this opportunity. My mission or my job was not so well defined, but with the understanding that we're here to support the Kollel, I'd like to speak not about the support part, but to speak about the importance of having a place like Ohev Yisrael and having a place like the Ramat Shiloh Community Kollel, and I think the role the Torah can have. And I'd like to specifically speak, just for a few minutes, not about Torah in the most general sense or learning in the general sense, but specifically with an eye towards Torah in this Kollel and in this community. And specifically, even though we have obviously members, people in the Kollel, people who are learning full-time, but personally, in my opinion, the most important part of the Kollel are not the people who are learning full-time. To me, by far and away, the important thing about the Kollel is that it is able to attract and contribute to the religious life of people who are not able to learn full-time. And with that in mind, I'd like to share three short points. I think that Torah, in general, but specifically for this Kehillah and for the people who most benefit from this Kollel, I think Torah has the ability to unify on three different levels. First, I'd like to mention there is an apparent contradiction, a stira between two Gemaras. One is the Gemara Masechta Brachos and Daf Ches, and the other is the Gemara Masechta Megillah and Daf Choftes. The Gemara Masechta Brachos speaks about Abaye and how he used to learn in one place and daven in another place. And then he heard the teaching that Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo Ela Dalet Amo Shel Halacha. And now, says the Gemara, he moved his place of davening to his place of learning. You get the impression that where you learn, the Beis Medrash is the main thing. However, the Gemara in Megillah, also in the name of Abaye, tells the exact opposite story. He used to learn and daven in different places, and then based on a pasuk in Tehillim, he changed his mind and he moved his place of learning to his Ikar Kviyus, his place of davening. So already, in Mefarshim, if you take a look in the Aruch HaShulchan, the Turi Evin in Megillah, they raise this. It seems to be a contradiction between the Gemaras. So different Mefarshim struggle how to resolve it. Can you resolve it? But at least for our gathering this evening, what struck me as most relevant and inspiring is the suggestion made by Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin in the Tzidkas HaTzadik. And there he suggests, al derech hachasidus, and in his inimitably brilliant manner, that the Gemara, I don't know exactly where Abai did or didn't daven or learn, but the way he understands the message of the Gemara, is on a metaphorical level. Says when the Gemara is speaking about makom tefila and makom limud, it symbolizes two different aspects of the human personality. What is the difference in Aravodas Hashem between learning and davening, says Reb Tzadok? It's very profound and very insightful. He says, davening represents our dependence on Hashem. Personally, I think that the reason why, I've said this in other contexts, the reason why across the board, in any part of the community, Hasidish, Misnagdish, Sephardic, Ashkenazic, Haredi, Misnagdish, the hardest thing, the weakest thing overall we have is davening. We do learning well generally, we do chesed very well in our generation, but davening is the weak leg of the Gimel Amudim in general. And the reason I think is because never have Jews lived in a mass level in a generation where they feel so independent and have such a hard time feeling dependent as our generation. And you cannot daven unless you feel completely dependent on Hashem. And most of us don't go through life feeling dependent, not one day, let alone our whole life. So this is a big, big avoda, not our topic today. But says Rav Tzadok, the essence of davening is being dependent, that a realization that we're dependent. But the real Chiddush, I think, is the flip side. It says, what's the essence of Talmud Torah? The ability to be independent. Because knowledge, as someone else once famously said, knowledge is power. In other words, not in a crass sense. But when you know things, you can be independent. If you're Nebuch, you forgive me, if you're an Aretz, you never know what to do. Every minute you have to ask a Shaila. You're totally dependent. If you learn, you know something, you're a more independent person. You're more of a Gavra. So says Rav Tzadok beautifully. He says a person starts off thinking, I'm going to learn. I'm going to be a Talmud Chacham. What do I call Shmarach? I'm going to be totally independent. So the Gemara says, he quotes, that a person who says, Ain li ela Talmud Torah, I feel a Talmud Torah, ain lo. Because the essence, says Reb Tzadok, of any part of any kidney you have in life is realizing that ultimately it's all a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to put in our Hishtadlus. But no less than in Parnassa, also in learning, says Reb Tzadok. In the end, we have to realize it's a gift from Hashem. So you'll say, okay, so I started off being very independent. Then I didn't get anywhere. So you think maybe you have to be totally dependent on Hashem. So says Reb Tzadok, you would think maybe that's the l'chachila. The ideal is a person should be totally dependent and for everything not know and have to ask a shayla and have to turn to Hashem and say, what do I do now? I have a cup of ginger ale. What bracha do I make? So says Reb Tzadok, no, adarabah, that's terrible. That's not Ratzon HaBorei. Ratzon HaBorei is that you should be able to learn and be able to be independent and know what to do. So what comes out? What is he trying to say? Is that, as we see in so many other areas, Avodas Hashem, life, is about balance. It's about balancing, having a shlemus, unifying two things which are in each and of themselves important, but if taken either one to an extreme, becomes totally destructive. And that is the feeling of dependence on Ribbono Shel Olam, but at the same time, building ourselves up as individuals, as human beings, and being able to be independent. Finding that balance, says Rav Tzadok, is the balance between Avodas Hashem in Talmud Torah and in davening. So Asher Zachinu, we have one place. We have a place we come to daven, we have a place we come to learn. We don't have a bias tension. We go to the same address so we could learn and we could daven, and each one of us in our own way finds that ability to find unity, achdus in our lives, balancing the Avodas Hashem of davening and of learning. But I'd like to take it one step further. Second point. Not only unity of person, but also unity of mission. Because as I mentioned, what is so unique and so special about this group, and this shul, and this kolel, is not the people who are learning full-time, that lots of kolelim have. But the people who are finding even an hour or two or less, sometimes even a day, to chaparayim, just to grab some time to learn. So for this, I want to make a second short point, and this is based on a well-known Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Daf Samach Tes. There the Gemara tells us, the great Rabbanim Rav Yosef, who used to always make a Kiddush every Shavuos. He was Hodul Hashem, thank you Hashem for giving us the Torah. Because he says, if it wouldn't be for the Torah, people would say, Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka. Now in English, it comes out beautifully. Because the simple understanding of the Gemara is if it wouldn't have been for Torah, he'd just be an average Joe. So he's thanking Hashem, Baruch Hashem, there's something called the Torah, and I was became big in Torah, and now I'm special, so I thank Hashem on Shavuos. If it wouldn't be for that, Kama Yosi Yimashuk, I'd just be an average Joe. So when I was living in Baltimore, they say over an unbelievable pshat from the great founding Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael, Rav Ruderman Zatzal. don't think it's published anywhere. You have to live in Baltimore to get the Masorah. So I'm doing you the favor. You don't have to live in Baltimore. I'm just going to tell you to. So said Rav Ruderman, apparently he used to say this over in the yeshiva, I think every Shavuos. So Rav Ruderman said something beautifully. He says, that's the Pashup Shat. He says, but that's not, but Omekap Shat, that's not what the Gemara is really saying. What the Gemara is saying is as follows. He says, we're complicated people, and we lead complicated lives. After all, there is Pliny, the businessman, who's also, hopefully, the husband, who's also a father, who also is a son, who also is, hopefully, a grandson, who's also an Eved Hashem, who also is a member of his shul, who also is connected to his children's schools and yeshivas, who also has to daven, who also has to learn, who also has to be a Baal Chesed, who also has to be a Baal Tzedakah. Said Rav Ruderman, a person can go out of his mind, could become spiritually schizophrenic. Kama yosi ikabashuka. How many different me's would there be? I'd be splintered. The one Yossi would be in 10 different places. And every year on Shavuos, he said, we remember that the Torah HaKadosha has the koach, and the vision of the Torah is just the opposite. That we're not supposed to be splintered people. Rather, not monolithic people. We're supposed to have all those aspects of our personality in our life. But Torah is the ma'ached. It's not kama yosi ikabashuka. It's one Rav Yossi with many different aspects of a personality, because Torah is relevant to all areas of our life. And if we see our lives as a circle with Torah at the center, then no matter how many different dots along the circle, some people have 4 dots, you know, they're relatively simple lives. Other people are very busy and they have 10 different aspects of their life and they're running around and always on the iPhone and important stuff, good stuff. A lot of things around that circle. You could easily splinter out of control. You could forget who you really are. But when Torah is in the middle, then it's not kama yos ika bashuka. There's just one. And it's reminiscent, some of you may be familiar with, this is more well known because it's in print, a very famous letter that Rav Huttner once wrote to a former student from Chaim Berlin. We don't know exactly what was going on in the student's life. We don't have his letter, but we can reconstruct that he had recently left the yeshiva, was in the work world, and he had written his Rebbe to say that he felt like he was living a double life. Huttner writes this in the letter. And he tells him that his student, that you're making a tremendous mistake. You're not understanding Torah. Because if you have understand the power of Torah, then you realize it's not a double life, but a broad life. The whole letter is in Hebrew, except for those words are in English. Not a double life, but a broad life. People who think that the only way of Avodas Hashem is only if you're learning full time, it's not just that it's wrong. It's the ultimate Pchisas HaKavod of Torah. Because the godless of Torah, unlike Lahavdil other religions, is it has the ability to infuse and give Kedusha and meaning in all areas of life. To say that Torah only has one home in the Beis Medrash is to rob Torah, says Rav Huttner, of its beauty. Then you could have a schizophrenic life. The few hours I'm learning, and then all the other hours I'm doing work, or I'm with my wife, or I'm playing tennis, or I'm playing basketball, or whatever I'm doing. That's schizophrenic. But that's based on a total misunderstanding of Torah. If you realize that Torah has the ability to be ma'ached, Rav Huttner gives another mashal. He says, what's the difference between having a house with 2 rooms or 2 houses that each have 1 room? Very simple. It's the roof. If you have 1 roof over both rooms, then that's a single house, right, with 2 rooms. 2 houses that each have 2 single-bedroom apartments have 2 separate rooms. Torah is the roof. It doesn't matter how many rooms in the house. When we're younger, you know, life is easy. You know, kleine Kinder, kleine Tsaris. So we get bigger, we have bigger problems, we have bigger challenges, we have more things going on in our life. Hopefully not just Tsaris, there are good things too. But it doesn't matter how many rooms you add to the house. If you keep on expanding the roof, and you keep on having Torah over all of them, then that gives a shlemus, that gives an achdus, that gives a unity to who you are. That's what having a kol, that's what coming and learning is able to do. I want to just conclude with one last piece. I actually am trying to locate this in writing. I'm not sure if it is, but a Rav who used to be in California, then he was in Eretz Yisrael, and now he's back in the States. A Rav who was a little bit older than me. So he shared with me once, he heard, actually emailed him this afternoon to find out if it was written anywhere. He says he's not sure, but he's quoted this in the name of Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwich Zatzal, the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Karen B'Yavna, a big gadol, of course, Talmud of the Chazon Ish. And he has many sforim and hashkafos, so it could be this is written somewhere. But I emailed this rabbi back in the States, so he said I heard it from him himself. So I'm not sure if it's written anywhere. But I asked Chagai, one of the people, enough people in this community who are Talmidim of Goldwich, maybe one of them will find it for us. But anyway, until now, it's Dvarim Shebaal Peh. It says something very beautifully. And with this, we'll conclude 2 minutes. We know the famous Medrash about Matan Torah, that before we were given the Torah, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered the Torah to all the different Goyim. And the Medrash tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a chance, but he didn't exactly make it easy for them. And he gave each of the nations a sample of what's in the Torah, and each time he gave them a sample, dafka, of the thing that would be the hardest thing for them. So if I recall the Medrash correctly, I think it was for Yishmael, he gave Lo Signov, that they can't handle, and for Bnei Esav, he gave Lo Sirtzach, that they couldn't handle, and Amon Amoav, they gave Lo Sinof, and that they couldn't handle, and they didn't get the Torah. But as we read yesterday, Am Yisrael, we said, Naseh v'nishma, and we accepted the Torah. Right? We've all heard that Medrash in our younger years. So Rav Goldwich asked, it's not fair. They really got tested. Their Achilles heel. They were asked on the outset, right, before they got to see any of the revach of the deal, right? They had to commit to the hardest part of the deal before seeing any good stuff. That's a pretty hard thing. In business, if someone gave you such an offer, most people would also walk away. And Am Yisrael, we pat ourselves on the back, we said, Naseh v'nishma, but we didn't get tested that way. And Agav, he said, and if we would have gotten tested, what do you think? Should we do a survey? What would you say the Achilles heel of Am Yisrael was? What would have been that one thing that if Hashem really wanted to test us, he would ask us? Said, I don't think so. I think Jews love to do that. So, unfortunately, there's no shortage of candidates. But Rav Goldwich suggested one answer for both of the questions. He said very beautifully, we know what does the Chazal say from the Medrash? Rashi quotes it. Well, familiar with this? Right? Vayichen Sham. Like it all right, they were. Right? Unlike the previous references to Am Yisrael earlier in the Parsha, which are all in Lashon Rabin, when they finally got right by the base of the mountain, it's in Lashon Yochid. And of course, Rashi from Chazal tell us very famously, Vayichen Sham, what does that mean? Lamed they were? Ki ish echad b'lev echad. Says Rav Goldwich beautifully. You know what the Achilles heel of Am Yisrael is? Machlokes. You think it's just now, just in 2015? This has always been the Achilles heel. And we were confronted and we passed the test. What the other nations weren't able to do, what their biggest Achilles heel, what their biggest Yetzer Hara, we were also able to do. Because Torah is supposed to be the greatest ma'ached, not only of the different parts of Avodas Hashem, not as we saw from Rabbi Yossi, it was from Rav Tzaruk and learning and davening, not only from the different aspects of our lives, the general and the Kodesh, like we saw with Rabbi Yossi, but Torah is supposed to be a ma'ached of the entire nation. And again, the fact that we know that we're living, how shall I say, in an unredeemed world. Now, it's not just that incidentally we have machlokes in the world, but unfortunately often the weapon used to wage the machlokes is Torah. So it doesn't matter whose side you're on or who's right, who's wrong. It doesn't matter. It's by definition already a chil Hashem. And it's robbing Torah again of what it was supposed to be. The essence of Torah is v'yichan Hashem. It's ki'isha chabalevcha. That's the whole t'nai in the kiyum of Kabbalah Satorah. Many Mefarshim explained Chiddush Arim, the Stibel of Rahman Cutler, many talk about that's why you have the whole issue with Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim going up to the Sefiras Omer, going up to Kabbalah Satorah. Not that it's only that time of year, but because not having Achdus is, you can't have Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah is a prerequisite. Achdus, excuse me, is a prerequisite for Kabbalah Satorah. So I want to conclude by just saying, not only as a bracha to all of us, that we should continue to benefit from Rabbi Flinstein, from the shul, from the kolel, we should take an opportunity to be makir tov, how fortunate we are to have an institution. Really, I couldn't imagine a more beautiful name for a mosa than Ohev Yisrael. Really, I get goosebumps just thinking about it. It's such a beautiful, beautiful name, and has such a long and glorious mesorah from great tzaddikim of previous generations, that we have a place where we can each come for ourselves when we can have time to unify our daily schedule, our lives, our inner lives. And I think most importantly, we can unify the community around something beautiful as learning and as davening. And it's a privilege to be part of such a community, and we're really fortunate, and I hope it should continue to be successful for many years to come. Thank you very much. Bahat Lacha.